Okay, I wonder if this is plugged in. Trash Talk Radio! Coming at you live on MP3 from high on a hill above beautiful Lake Washington! My name is Lestro, and with me, as always, is the Guru.
Yes, sir.
And you know how this goes. We're here to talk a little trash on the week's worth of sports. I don't know anybody except the Guru, and the Guru knows all.
Man, I know just a little something, man. Just a little something, man.
Guru, it is episode 92, and week one of the NFL season is in the books. What happened to the much-hyped Browns? How about that running back that threw for 5 touchdowns down in Baltimore? The Pats crushed the Steelers. The Chiefs start hot again, and I can't believe I have to say this, but how about them Cowboys? Then, it's Guru's Week 2 preview as his favorite cousin takes on the Pack. The Steelers look to rebound against the Seahawks, and the Saints and Rams go at it in an early season rematch. Plus, the Almanac joins us for the campus check-in and the weekly Almanac poll. It's the return of Guru's call-outs and shout-outs. And you, our Bets with Ben segment with Ben Carey of Capwise.com. And you know we got a two-minute drill. Guru, Trash Talk Radio, episode number 92.
Let's roll.
How you doing, man? It's good to see you.
Man, I am living a dream. Don't you pinch me, man. Don't you pinch me, Lestro.
I know. You got to be happy as everything here. Week one of the NFL, man. Weekend was good, right?
We only got, 15 more weeks? Gosh, it's growing so fast.
It's almost already over.
Jeez.
Did you have a good weekend?
Oh, I had a great weekend.
Did you survive that thunderstorm we got here in Seattle, man?
No, man. I wasn't actually here. I went back home.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Back on the East Coast again. Yeah. Well, you missed the annual Seattle thunderstorm rolled in on the weekend, and lightning, thunder. They didn't know what to do here. I'm surprised there was bread left in the stores.
I heard about it, man. I heard the thunder. I saw the lightning, man. I'm like, are you
nuts? Yeah, they didn't know what to do out here. I miss those thunderstorms. I don't know about you. That's one of the things I miss about the East Coast is a thunderstorm rolling through. I love when that would happen a couple times a summer. I miss it.
I don't miss that shit.
Ah, you're crazy.
No, I don't miss that shit.
That was East Coast back twice in a month.
I know, right? Like, I know that East Coast swing,
Guru,
man.
Guru jet
Trust
setting.
Me, I know how that feels. So we just remember this conversation when we do our previews, man. It's a bitch from that West to East Coast swing, I tell you, man.
Yeah, now, Guru, we are a little bit late this week. I want to mention we had some technical difficulties and some setup and some new stuff to work on. So the show is a little bit late this week, but don't you worry about it. We're still going to hit it just as hard as we always do. So let's start with get right into it here. Week one of the NFL. Some big games, some surprises, some not so much. Let's start with the Browns, because that was the team everybody was talking about here going into this season. Much hyped, a lot of noise coming out of Cleveland, a lot of noise coming out of Cleveland locker room. They went out there, and you know what? They looked like the Browns against the Titans this week, Guru.
Yeah, what we say, man, they look like some doo-doo Browns, man.
Yeah, man.
Some straight doo-doo. And don't forget, remember the Titans.
Right?
Don't ever, ever forget to remember the Titans, man. They put a absolutely old school ass whooping. Take him to the woodshed, they would say, right?
Yeah, right. Take him out back. This was one where Marcus Mariota threw for 248 yards and a third down. And three touchdowns.
Yeah, either way, Mariota had a career day.
Yeah, absolutely. Even the first down would have been. Derrick Henry adds a touchdown of his own. The Titans win 43-13. They pretty much dominated this game start to finish.
Straight shellacking, man.
The Browns, on the other hand, did not look as good. Mayfield throws 3 interceptions. Now, a lot of those came in garbage time when you're just trying to make up ground and come back in. 285 yards, 1 touchdown. What went wrong in Cleveland, man? This was a much-hyped team coming in.
Much-hyped team that I have to find chemistry. that goes, that I was playing against a team that has an impressive, core as far as their defensive line. They have a unit of young guys as well as a mixture of OGs like Cameron Wake. So they were very relentless, and the weak link in the Cleveland Browns offense is their offensive line, respectively the interior of the offensive line. So that's what you see is the strength of the Tennessee team with Jarrell Casey. If you remember the Guru's defensive tackle ranking, Casey's one of his high guy who plays in that position, man. So at the end of the day, I think the Browns they just need a chemistry. They need a gel. There was a lot of new things coming in into this offseason. So they just need a gel. And they just met a team that's very physical, going against a team that's lacking that physicality right now at that core offensive line.
Yeah, Mayfield sacked 5 times in this game. Not a good day for Baker Mayfield. Very funny day. I got to tell you, that to me was the funniest score of the weekend. When I checked that one and saw that the Browns had lost 43-13, laughed because of all the hype. And what we were saying before, they're still the Browns. You know, until you prove it, you're still the Browns. 43-13, I'm sorry, Cleveland. You're still the Browns.
I expect the Browns to bounce back, man.
All right, who do they got this week? What are they?
The Jets, Jets, Monday night.
All right, so that on Monday night, boy, they're really packing them in on that one on Monday night. The Browns, Jets, then this week on Monday night, the Jets, a terrible loss for them. And, of course, I'm talking about Sam Darnold going down with mono. Mm-hmm. But the game, terrible loss in that
Stop
game.
Stop hanging out with Jimmy G and them porn stars.
Right, what are you guys doing out there?
Y'all SoCal kids, man.
All right, from the Browns to one of the bigger surprises of the week, not necessarily a surprise, but some of the numbers involved were the Ravens here. Lamar Jackson dropping 5 touchdowns this week. Just a huge week for Lamar Jackson and an offense finally built for him.
Absolutely, man. And I'm a big, if you guys listening to the show, you guys would know, I'm a big, big Ravens proponent this year. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, you picked them in the North, right?
Yes, I am a big, big, big believer in the Baltimore Ravens. I'm a big believer in Greg Roman, if the offensive coordinator. Now, if you remember the San Francisco days with the Kaepernick, Greg Roman is the one that's orchestrated that type of offense. So now he's the one that's over there in Baltimore with a guy like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he should be able to run that offense. He's got all the skills of Kaepernick taken to like the next level. Absolutely. He's a better, same skill set. Each leveled up, you know, one more roll of the dice when you're creating a character.
Exactly. So with that was just an impressive. And obviously, I think what I believe was the biggest free agent acquisition this free agency was Earl Thomas over there at the safety position. And that Baltimore already have a defense, but with Earl, they just took their defense to a championship level. And the combination with that, I see big, big things for the Baltimore Ravens, and I expect more of this rather than this just be an anomaly.
Yeah, Earl Thomas made himself felt right away, picked up an INT obviously, right there in that first game. Now,
my defensive player of the year I mentioned. Go ahead.
Now, let's not gloss over the fact that this was against the Dolphins. So what we need to talk about here is this is an impressive win, and not to take anything away from Lamar Jackson, who, by the way, already has the quote of the year. The not bad for running back. I referenced it in the intro. Already the quote of the year. A good luck catching up with it. That is,
I see you, Mr. Jackson. You are for real.
For real. That is. I loved that. But let's not to take anything away from him. Great day for Lamar Jackson. You're playing the Dolphins. Is this a sign of how bad the Dolphins are or a sign of how good the Ravens are?
I mean, absolutely, it's a combination of both. Like, we know the Dolphins are processing. That's a fact. We understand. They could tell
absolutely.
Us
if they win a game this year.
They could preach whatever. Right?
If they get within 45 this year, it's going to be amazing.
I believe the Ravens is who they really are. I don't care who you're playing. You still got to execute. And the most important thing, to execute it against an opponent. And the execution was in high level. So I just take that with that. That's what I take more out of this game than, per se, than playing the Dolphins. It's more about the execution. The Dolphins gave them a situation to execute, and they took advantage, and they scored 59 points.
Took advantage of it in a big way. Lamar Jackson, I love him being in an offense that's actually designed for him. They take on the Cardinals this week at home. It should be another good day.
Another mollywop.
Another good day mollywopping for Lamar Jackson. Okay, so speaking of that, the sort of surprise mollywop of the weekend was the Patriots looking like
the
for
Patriots?
Real. Yeah, not even just the Patriots, but like one of the best versions of them we've seen. They put a hurt on the Steelers that really nobody saw coming. Not that they weren't expected to win, but they put a hurt on the Steelers. 33-3 is
I'm not surprised at this. I think the Steelers are going to be like 8-8 this year. That was my prediction. I expected them to get a mollywop this game. It wasn't no surprising to me personally. I just don't think the personnel, as far as the personnel grouping the Pittsburgh Steelers have to compare to the New England Patriots personnel right now.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't a very good match.
Few teams
that,
do.
And not only that, Pittsburgh lost so many explosive players. And we know Belichick is going to take your marquee strength away. And they lost so many explosive players. They don't have enough of that to defeat a team like the Patriots right now.
And speaking of that, we didn't even talk about this at the offset. The Antonio Brown saga, of course, has taken another turn. As starting next week, he too will be on the Patriots, giving Brady yet another weapon. Brady had 3 touchdowns this week. He had 341 yards, 3 touchdowns, 21-36. A good day for the old man.
Not bad
at all for the old man. And then getting AB joining the team next year.
Next week.
That's a dangerous squad up there in New
England,
man.
I mean, it's already a dangerous squad. With or without AB, we're still picking him as a favorite. So.
Right. Well, the only hope is that AB is the poison pill that everybody seems to think he is, or that at least Ben Roethlisberger thinks he is. by the way, Ben Roethlisberger, I saw this week. I saw a shot of him on the television that it was like the way his head and neck come together in one giant form. He's got like tiny eyes. It looks like it's carved into a giant lock. He looks like a Dick Tracy villain to me. Like it's small
the
face.
Fuck
you know
is
what I mean?
You're talking about,
it's
man.
A small face. Ben Small Face Roethlisberger. Calling Dick Tracy.
Oh,
we have a
man. He going back to the 90s comic book or whatever show. Man, I remember Dick Tracy.
He looks like someone carved a face in a tree.
Big Ben, man. I'm a big fan, baby. Fantasy band.
All right, finishing out week one. We got 2 more here to talk about. I want to talk about the Chiefs, who also had a very impressive start behind MVP Patrick Mahomes. Another big win for the Chiefs here in the first week. Talk to me a little bit about Mahomes' performance.
Easy. It's Andy Reid, man. It's September. It's October.
It's where he's the best.
This is what we do over here, man. So I expect Mahomes to put up a Godzilla numbers, man, all the way up to about, you know, Thanksgiving time or so. So this is the norm. I've seen this before. I've been in the NFC East and seen Andy Reid with the Eagles. I've seen Andy Reid right now with the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, there's people that have what? They go with the analytics. You know what I'm saying? You know
right.
What I go with? I go with the analytics.
Every time.
I go with the analytics, man. This two motherfuckers right here, man. This two motherfuckers don't fail me, man. I see shit, dog. I don't need to be reading that shit. Nah. I see that shit.
378 yards, 3 touchdowns to open the season with. Of course, you know me. I will always find a way to bet against Andy Reid. If he can find a way to fuck things up for his team, he will. This is Andy Reid.
This is his time. It's September.
This is his
October,
time, though.
Man.
This is now.
Come
September.
On.
September is the time not to bet against Andy Reid. All right, so one more here I want to talk. Oh, by the way, in that game, in that Jags game, Nick Foles going down early changes the calculus for everything here.
Oh, man.
Getting injured with the broken clavicle, going to be out for several weeks.
Tony
indeed.
Romo. He got the Tony Romo.
Rough.
Thank you, Tony Romo. I never knew what a clavicle was, man. But because of you, I know every time I see a quarterback do this, I'm like, they got the Tony Romo,
that's
baby.
That's right. Pull that arm in like that bum wing. He Romo'd it indeed. Nick Foles, though, I hope gets back soon. Gardner Minshew, though, a Wazoo product. Not a bad day for the kid in the loss. 275 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. You think Jacksonville's going to be okay with him there?
Wait till they see a week of tape on this. Even that little small sample. He's going to see so many blitzes coming at him.
Up.
Boy, oh, mercy. Lago, good luck to man. Please don't. I know your family gonna be at this game, but mom and dad don't have no high expectation. Please.
Come on, man.
Gonna get it handed to him in this game, we expect. All right, so one more game we got to talk about here, and this I'm not pleased that you put this one on the list. I'd much rather talk about the Eagles beating the Redskins. Had to get it in. Had to mention it. Wasn't pretty, but it got done.
You're supposed to do that.
But we have to talk about the Cowboys at beating the Giants 35-17. Now this is another.
I put that in there.
You put that in there.
Oh, man.
Which is odd because.
You guys going to know about the guru, and everybody knows he hates the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's why I put it in there because I hate, so I'm going to keep hating on him.
This is a good game, and for me, it's the same thing with the hate. Dak Prescott, 405 yards, four touchdowns. Dak trying to get that money this year, and first game, looks like he might be worth the big contract. Dak, four touchdowns. Zeke had a touchdown, averaging 4.1 yards. Only 53 yards for Zeke in game one, but...
Amari got a touchdown. Gallup got a touchdown. Man, he was like Oprah out there, man. Just tossing touchdown, man. Brayton got a touchdown. Everybody
got a touchdown. You got a touchdown.
Jerry's going to get a touchdown. Boy, everybody getting a touchdown. I see you, Dak. Get that money, Dak. Boy, I tell you, man.
I hate it.
I tell you, Dak, impressive, 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 impressive. Once you trying to get paid, once you betting on yourself, if I was Jerry, boy, you better take care of this deal by week two. You better don't wait till week six because it's $1 million over 33 every time it goes, bro. That goes 6-0. That becomes a $35 million. You could have signed him in week two. That's right now it's about 33.7.
Well, he's certainly going to do it as well this week, playing the Redskins in D.C.
We ain't talking about that, man.
Shouldn't be a particularly tough game. Another stat pad weekend for Dak Prescott down there trying to make that money. All right, speaking of the weekend ahead, let's look at some of the big games happening here in week two. So the biggest games we want to talk about here starts with the Vikings and Packers. This is a showdown, an NFC North showdown between two of the big quarterbacks, your favorite cousin, Kirk Cousins, and
that's my cousin, my favorite cousin, Dom.
And, of course, second best Aaron Rodgers, who everybody else seems to think is the best quarterback.
The second best Aaron. He heisted Super Bowl. You all give him credit for. Charles Woodson, I got your back, homie. That's your Super Bowl, man.
So talk to me about this game. What do you see happening here? It's in Green Bay.
Absolutely. I see the monkey coming out my cousin's back. I see the monkey coming out my cousin's back. I see because they're going to pound it with Dalvin Cook. I love what Zimmer did from last year, what he anticipated, what he said he's going to do this season. He's going to get the ball out of Kirk Cousins' hand, put it behind his defensive line, and behind Dalvin Cook, who was very, very impressive in week one. So I anticipate that, even though Green Bay showed they were very impressive as well, as far as, you know, Coach Pettine and the defense against Nagy and the Chicago Trubisky and the Bears, but I just think Cousins is a better situation. I just think the Vikings got a better assets of offense. I just think they have different levels of players from the running game to Cooper to Adam Thielen to Steph Diggs. So they just, and Calvin Rudolph, they just have an array of sets of offensive guys that could give Green Bay a little bit of issues, and I think my cousin's going to outduel the second best Aaron, and my cousin's going to take this dub, baby. This dub in Lambeau.
Now, we were saying that the Packers, they both 1-0 coming in. The Packers, I had forgotten. I'm glad you mentioned it, that they played the Bears. That opening game was the most boring opening game. The Packers won 10-3 over Mitch Trubisky, who looks confused as hell as the rest
Same
of us.
Mitch, happy feet, yeah. Happy feet, Mitch.
Happy feet. None of us know why he's in the NFL, and he's starting to wonder it himself. I think
happy
by the looks on that.
Happy feet, Mitch, baby. He be holding a clipboard in a couple seasons, man. The only reason why because they're gonna hold on to him a season too long.
Vikings, on the other hand, beat the Falcons 28-12. Falcons not off to the start we'd hope. Matt Ryan throwing two picks in that game.
Excellent defense over there, in Minnesota.
Kirk Cousins, yeah, less than 100 yards and a touchdown.
He only threw the ball, what, 10 times?
10 times, 8
That's
of 10.
That 80%, man. That's all we say. What do we say we're going to do with my cousin? He finna share this, man. My cousin, that's why he my cousin. He's sharing the load.
Yeah, they gave him $84 million to throw the ball 10 times. Damn, we're going to see what happens next week. All right, let's talk about another game here in week two. I want to talk about the Seahawks and the Steelers. Now, the Seahawks had a game that was much like the Eagles in that it looked like the first half they treated like a preseason game, spotted the other team some points, and then came back to beat the Bengals in the second half. The Seahawks looked good, not great. They will be taking on the Steelers, who played, of course, got their ass is handed to him by Brady Belichick and the Patriots. Can the Steelers rebound, or are we looking at the Seahawks?
I don't like this matchup. I don't like this Seattle team going into Pittsburgh. I never like Pete Carroll's Seattle team in September going to East Coast swing. They always get mollywop. We all remember the Chicago Bears game of last year. We all remember, I forgot who that had played the year before. This is a key thing that you can always put on the books. In September, when the Seahawks go to the East Coast swing, they're going to get mollywop. And the thing is, they're going against a team that's was embarrassed on national TV. A Super Bowl coach that was embarrassed. A Super Bowl quarterback that was embarrassed. An organization that was embarrassed. I have respect for the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, and I see them, the Seahawks are going playing against an angry, angry, angry team on the road, and I think Pittsburgh is going to put a shed whooping, and the Seahawks are just going into the ambush right now.
I got to tell you, if the Steelers don't, that stadium could revolt. I mean, like, it'd be week two even in Pittsburgh. If they come out looking like they did last week, that is not going to go well for the Steelers in there. I don't think Tomlin would ever have any kind of worries about his job over there. I think he's the guy for life as long as he wants it. But you know that Pittsburgh coaching position is like a Supreme Court spot. You got to die to lose it.
You got to die,
man.
You got
to die or retire. Mm-hmm. But the Seahawks didn't play well either. They also looking to make a statement. Their front line did not hold up the way it had hoped. Russell Wilson constantly being chased around. Tyler Lockett had one target. Metcalf looked pretty good. The rushing wasn't what they had hoped. This is a rush-first team. Their leading rusher, Chris Carson, had 46 yards. I don't know. Seahawks looking to make a statement too, but I don't like the situation. It feels like an ambush as well. I agree with that. Look out, Russ, because Pittsburgh is angry. Mm-hmm. All right, one more. We got a rematch here of the NFC Championship game from last year, an early season rematch. Saints-Rams, talk to me about this one.
Oh, man, this is going to be the game right here, man. And I don't like the game for the Saints. I really don't. I just think they have too much emotional. It's just too much emotional assets right now they have in this game. They have just too much emotion. They have everything they're riding for this game. I don't like that on the road and against the Rams. I think the Rams are a better team than the Saints. I think roster-wise, they're a better team than the Orleans Saints. So with that said, the Rams playing at home against a superbly emotional team coming in after this on a short week for New Orleans, who played a tough, tough Monday night battle against the Texans. So they have one day of less preparation to go fly into L.A. So I don't like this situation for New Orleans going into L.A., and it's too much emotional. I think the emotional is going to be a liability for them in this game.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about, too. The Rams have been living in the Saints' head for several months now and can't get out of it. You saw it at that game this week in New Orleans where fans dressed as the ref. There's T-shirts complaining. They filed a grievance. You know, like it's everything down there is aimed at this. And both of these teams pulled out victories. Rams only winning 30-27 over the Panthers, who look like dog do again here on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And then and the Saints winning 30-28 over the Texans, squeaking by there. neither one of these teams really looked like the dominant force that we expected them to be. But again, it's week one. It's kind of preseason going forward. So week two, I expect the Rams to step it up a little. I'm with you. Too much emotion on the Saints' end here. The Rams have lived in their head. This never goes well. It's not going to go like you think it's going to go, New Orleans.
Exactly.
All right, so that's our preview here of week two, Guru's preview of week two. Let's take a minute here and look at the college game with our man, the Almanac, checking in for the campus check-in segment every week, going down there to college land in the South. Let's get the Almanac on the line and see what he's doing. Back on Trash Talk Radio with our weekly campus check-in with our man, the Almanac, checking in from down there in a college sports land. Almanac, welcome back to Trash Talk Radio. Good to have you, man.
Thank you guys for inviting me back, man. Looking forward to talking some more college football with y'all tonight.
Yes, sir. My man, the Almanac. If you need anything collegiate, if you know anything about collegiate football, you got to get your sources from the South because the South play college football, man.
That's right. We don't get as much of it up here in the Pacific Northwest. We go to the experts, as always, on Trash Talk Radio, to our man, the Almanac, for the campus check-in. Almanac, we got to talk a little bit about week two. We had two big games this past week, and we talked about them last week. We previewed them coming in. That is, of course, Clemson, Texas A&M, and LSU, Texas. What'd you think of these two games, buddy?
Man, you know, first of all, I'm an LSU fan, so I was real thrilled about the results. It reminded me of a throwback game. You know, you don't see too many schools now traveling, playing true road games against top 25 opponents that's not in the same conference. You know, if they do, they normally try to have it in a neutral arena like in Atlanta or in Texas. So at Jerry World. So this was a true road game for LSU.
Whoa. Time out. Don't take no passive aggressive shots at Alabama, man. What you think? I didn't hear that. Almanac. You know, we don't play in Atlanta or Jerry's Dome. Don't give us that. Why don't you just tell the world what you trying to say, man? Who you talking about?
I'm just saying, man. You see that a lot. Alabama's not the only school that do it, though they are known for it. They do it every year, but it's other big time programs that do the same thing. So everybody's afraid to schedule home and homes now. So they always, you know, want to meet up in the neutral site, like I said. But it makes it more impressive to me that it was a true road game. And, you know, hopefully if we looking good at the end of the year, that could, you know, be a little feather in our hat with the playoff committee.
Yeah, nice to have that, especially with the ranking on that team. That's a strength of schedule issue as well that you're gonna pick up at LSU. Big win for LSU coming out of Texas, 45-38 with the victory. A big win for this team. Moving forward, what'd you like about them?
For one, I think I predicted the score to be 27-24 LSU, so it was a lot more scoring than I thought it would be.
Yeah, definitely should have taken the over in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. But like I said, it was an incredible game, an incredible atmosphere. Game day was there. Texas pulled out all the stops to try to do everything they could to win. You know, they cut the air conditioner off in the visitors' locker room. You know, they made our marching band sit at the very top of the stadium in the nosebleed section. But we still got the win. So, yeah, you know, their little petty cheap shots didn't pay off. And we'll remember that when they have to come to Tiger Stadium next year. But anyway. Both defenses struggled versus the pass. You know, each quarterback threw for over 400 yards. So I didn't particularly like that as far as our defense was concerned. And this was kind of supposed to be the battle of DBU. That was a lot of the hype and animosity going into the game. You know, in fact, there was a little chippiness before the game with some players getting into it. But as far as I'm concerned, after the performance by both those secondaries, I think – both teams are going to have to sit out the DBU marker that night. But
yeah, very offensive heavy game. As you mentioned, both quarterbacks going over 400 yards, each getting four touchdowns. That's not a game where the defense is particularly tight.
You know, I was kind of impressed, Almanac, because obviously I'm not in watch as much college football as you do, but I do know a little bit. And I one thing I do know about LSU, man, you don't score 44. It takes them about 6 weeks to score 44 points. So I'm like, how in the heck, dude, am I seeing a fork passing 400 yards? Are y'all serious? Is this, are you talking about Louisiana Tech? You know, this is, I'm not, is this Louisiana Tech or are you talking about LSU?
Hey, it's a new day, and you know me and you went to college together, so you've been knowing me since over a decade, and you know me being an LSU fan and how much I complain and all the time about how we always have a championship defense, but we always have a damn high school offense, and so it's a new day at LSU. You know, every year, you know, Les Miles will say we're gonna open it up, and it never happened, but this year I can honestly say that we have really become a led by our offense, and we finally have a quarterback, a guy that I can trust and I believe in. And if you just watch the game, you know, it's at the end of the game. You know, we up six with less than 2 minutes left, and you know, normally teams will run the ball and try to run the air out of it, but Texas was scoring at will. So you know, our coach, and I think it was a smart decision, did not want to get the ball back. So he wanted to continue to be aggressive, and you know, he let the quarterback throw the ball, and third down to 17, you know, in Texas territory, and he let the guy drop back and threw it and end up hitting a 60-yard touchdown pass and sealing the victory. So I think America needs to know Joe Burrow. He's a transfer from Ohio State. You know, he was backed up JT Barrett, and then, you know, he competed with Dwayne Haskins last year. Ultimately lost out for the starting job, so he transferred to LSU, and right now you would have to, after his first two games, you know, he's thrown for close to 800 yards and 9 touchdowns the first 2 weeks of the year, and I think he set
RB passing record in LSU history already.
Absolutely, and it was the first time also in LSU history we had three wide receivers go over 100 yards in the same game. So Joe Burrow is a legitimate Heisman contender right now. I know it's early, but we can only go on both the games.
All right.
On the first
All right. Who's your favorite character in The Simpsons, dog? Who's your favorite character in The Simpsons? Homer.
Yeah, but am I telling a lie though? I mean. I'm just being honest. The guy is a legit.
No, you're not being honest, man. You're not being honest. You're showing
me. I'm being honest.
He's been keeping saying we.
I know. Hang on. Let's talk about an actual legitimate Heisman contender here and move over to the other big game of the weekend.
Oh, God.
You like that? Clemson beats.
Keep disrespecting my guy, but let's go.
Clemson beats Texas A&M 24-10. Legitimate Heisman candidate, of course, Trevor Lawrence, quarterback there at Clemson. Not quite the start he was hoping for so far. Another game where he wasn't even spectacular in this one, but again, coming out with the win.
Man, I tell you, Clemson, they're really proving how strong they are again this year. But like you said, Trevor Lawrence has played two below average games for his standards, and Clemson has dominated each game, and it's not like they've been playing cupcakes. You know, Georgia Tech, they're not ranked or anything, but they're still a legitimate D1 program. Texas A&M was number 12 at the time, and even though the score was 24-10, it really wasn't that close. You know, they scored a late garbage touchdown. They couldn't move the ball the entire game against Clemson. Even though, you know, Clemson lost, three, four linemen from last year's team to the NFL. Three of them, I believe, is first-round draft picks. So if there was a question mark going into the season about Clemson, everybody wanted to know, you know, how would they replace those NFL guys from the team last year. And I tell you, man, Dabo got that thing humming, man. He's recruiting like a madman. So it's five-star replacing five-stars. And right now it's looking like they're not missing the beat. So when Trevor Lawrence does actually, you know, get it in the gear, it's only going to get even scarier for this for the rest of the college football. So Clemson looks really well, and they look poised to make another playoff run. You know, so right now the rest of their schedule is pretty much cupcakes now, because Texas A&M was the last, you know, legitimate team in my opinion, that they had to play. You know, we look at Florida State, they're rebuilding. Syracuse was supposed to be their only other top 25 competition, but they just got boat raced by Maryland, losing by almost 40 points last Saturday. So not looking much, looking for nothing from them. So
no, this is right it. Now, Clemson doesn't have a ranked opponent for the rest of the season.
You know, just real quick, what you guys mentioned about Lawrence struggling a little bit, this is why I like quarterbacks that have multiple seasons starting before they go to the league. Because the second year, you get to see this defensive coordinator get a chance to get a film on you. So, obviously, they're going to adapt to you a little bit. So, I think it's just that's what's really happening. You expect that because we have so much more data on you. But we're still going to see Lawrence. But that's why I like guys that have multiple starts because you see how to come back and how to go.
Right, how they fight through a defense that knows what's coming as opposed to them just showing up on the spot. But
like Dwayne Haskins, for example.
Yeah. Not a bad day for Trevor Lawrence, just not a particularly good day. 24-35, 268 yards, one touchdown, one interception. But again, the win and the season this week, like I said, Syracuse, that was supposed to be a good game. They turned out not to be going through and not a ranked opponent for the rest of the year. But Almanac, that brings us up here. We spent a lot of time here talking about these games. We're not talking about the week that's coming up, and we didn't talk about a lot of games this week. And one of the reasons is because a lot of the games aren't very good, man. They're these body bag games. Schools just lining up teams to beat. And I know you were complaining about this a little bit as well.
Yeah, I think the NCAA must do something about this. Because I don't mind, you know, maybe each team from a Power 5 conference playing, like, say, one body bag game as opposed to two or three, and maybe they could play limited to one, and that can, you know, act as a preseason like the NFL does. But first, let me explain to your audience what a body bag game is. Body bag game is when a ranked, it doesn't even have to be a ranked team, a Power 5 school, you know, where they play a directional school or sometimes not even a D1 school, and they pay them a big check because a lot of these smaller schools, you know, they can't afford, you know, a lot of their sports programs. So they go out on the road to schedule games against, you know, Power 5 schools, the bigger schools, and they know they're going to get beat down. They know they're going to get blown out, but they need the money. So they agree to play these teams anyway for a paycheck.
It's also Rocky. You know what I mean? Like you get your shot. You might as well. You know what I mean? Yeah. Any given Saturday, some dipshit school out of nowhere could upend Alabama. You know, that's the hope.
Appalachian State.
Yeah, exactly. St. Mary's School for the Blind. The flying nuns come out and beat Alabama one week. That's what we're all hoping for out of these games.
Yeah, that could happen, but I mean, it's probably less than a 5% chance. Oh, yeah,
highly unlikely.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you got the Appalachian States, and actually Tennessee lost to they actually paid Georgia State $900,000, and Georgia State actually went in there and beat them. Mm. So they took their money, and they also
direct deposit, baby.
Yeah, they also gave them the L. So, but if you just look, just this past week, you know, you had Florida playing Tennessee Martin, beating them 45-0. You got Alabama playing New Mexico State, beating them 62-10.
Who cares? Yeah, that's not a good game. It's not good for the fans. It's not good for anybody.
No, and that's at Georgia, Murray State, 63-17. And they pretty much can name the score. You know, these are the lopsided, you know, scores, and a lot of times these schools not even playing players in the fourth quarter, so they pretty much can run up to 100 if they want to. And another reason it's not safe because you got to look at these 5-star guys from Alabama. You know, you probably playing against a bunch of undersized guys.
Exactly, the mathletes schools, out there in, you know, some of these schools.
Yeah, so it's not good for the game, man, and it's not safe. And you know, Nick Saban, he's complaining about his student sections leaving the game early. I'm like, dude, it's 100 degrees. You up 70-0. You want us to stay through the entire game? I'm like, what is wrong with you?
What am I hanging in for at this point? I got
a keg stand to go do, man.
Yeah, right? There's shit happening. It's Saturday on campus.
I got co-eds who are drunk before they pass out, man. What are you doing, Nick
Time to
Saban?
Go. Leave me alone. You're beating the shit out of them. All right.
I wish the NCAA would ask my advice. So what I would do, my suggestion would be each team in the Power Five conference, you know, they can't play one body bag game for the first game of the season, and outside of that, you are required to play two games versus the other Power Five conferences. So if I'm in the SEC, I'm going to play my whole SEC schedule, but I'm also going to schedule a game against a team in the Big Ten, or and a team against in the ACC, or a team in the Pac-12 and a team in the Big 12. You know, so I think that would be better for the game, and it also gives us more of those unilateral matches, kind of like the LSU and the Texas game this past weekend. You know, all the hype that was in that game, you know, I would like to see more of that, you know, going forward, and less of these body bag games. So that would be my suggestion for the NCAA.
Hey, man, if I could make you commissioner, I would do it, Almanac. I think that's a logical suggestion. I think it makes it much more interesting for the fans through the rest of the season.
Well, I heard you got a lot of pool, man, so you need to use that juice you have and go on and do that for me, man.
I you know what? I will make a call. I'll see what I can do for you. I'll make that call, see if we can make it happen. Gurus, you don't think that's
listen
not...
to this shenanigans, man.
All right, well, let's get to something else here. Yeah. Almanac, we want to get to our weekly top 10. We're running out of time here, so we can go through this relatively quickly. But this is the Almanac poll top 10. This is not the AP poll. This is not the coaches poll. This is the Almanac poll. He polls the everybody that matters, and it's him, and gives us his top 10 teams of the week. Almanac, what are we looking at here in the Almanac top 10?
All right, so last week I had Clemson, Bama, Georgia, LSU, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Michigan, Texas, Auburn, and Notre Dame. All right, so basically this week I have Clemson as my number one team.
Obviously.
Bama's number two. Mm-hmm. So they hold steady at 1-2. I move after the impressive victory over a top 10 program on the road. I move LSU up to number three.
Obviously.
I have.
I'm surprised they're not one.
Yeah, well, I started to, but I'm going to give respect to the OGs, Clemson and Alabama. They earned a top two spot. So I'm gonna give that to them. They have the best two coaches in college football, so I'm not going to disrespect until the playoffs come.
You're a pro, Almanac. Okay. You're a pro. All right, number four.
Thank you. Georgia is number four. Five, Ohio State. Six, Oklahoma. Seven, Auburn. Eight, Notre Dame. Nine, Florida. 10, Utah. So I dropped Michigan out of my top 10 because they should have lost at home to Army.
You dropped them out of your top 10 and they won. That's harsh, yeah, they won, brother.
They won by 1 point at home against Army. Like I said, if Army had a decent field goal kicker, the game wouldn't even win the overtime. So, and it's not just from the last game. Michigan's been struggling. They've been lucky to win even week one against two teams that they're far superior than. So they're out of my top 10. And I also
slightly dropped
Texas out. They dropped from number 9 down to number 12. So not a big fall from them. It's no shame in losing, you know, by less than a touchdown to LSU. So I dropped them a few spots right outside of my top 10. So
no shame in losing to LSU.
Who moves in this?
No, no shame in that.
Of course not. No shame in losing to LSU. Almanac, thank you for joining us here on Trash Talk Radio, as always, with the Campus Check-In. We will, of course, check in with the Almanac every week here on Trash Talk Radio to get the best in college sports and to check the rankings on the Almanac Bowl. Almanac, sir, thank you for joining us. We will talk to you next week, man.
All right, man. I'll see you guys next week.
Thank you. All right, Guru. Our thanks to the Almanac, of course, moving LSU up in the Almanac poll this week. Good of him not to make them number one, as always.
Yeah, right. In his heart, they're number one.
In his heart, they're always number one. All right, Guru, before we get to the return of your call-outs and shout-outs for the week, you know what time it is.
That plug time.
Trash Talk Radio and TrashTalkRadio.com, brought to you by the World of Sports Network.com. World of Sports Network, connecting the world through the sports we love. Head on over to thewosn.com. That's the WOSN.com to get all the great World of Sports Network content from the Trash Talk Radio to the Barbershop Sports Show to the Wash is Back, even the show I'm doing about Seattle sports. Make sure you head over to the WOSN for all the great merchandise, Trash Talk Radio stuff, World of Sports Network stuff that you can get over there. You can find Trash Talk Radio at trashtalkradio.com and anywhere you can find a podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google. We're on Spotify. Do us a favor. Leave us a comment. Leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. Check in. If you're looking for the guru, he's there every week on every day on Instagram at Guru's Film Room. Guru's Film Room on Instagram. It's just his thoughts. Just his thoughts. And Guru, tell him what that hashtag is again.
And that's 10K4TTR.
All right, Guru, we got that out of the way here, which means it is time for the return of Guru's call-outs.
Oh, man, get the heck out of here.
And shout-outs.
Yes, boy, yes, boy.
This is where we take our final look back at the week that was in the NFL, and Guru finds the guys who deserve to be called on their carpet for their play and calls them out.
Oh, man, get the heck out of here.
And then finds the guys that need to be recognized for their play and gives them a shout-out.
Yes, boy,
yes,
boy.
Yes, sir.
Guru, who are we starting with?
Oh, man, this is very simple, bro.
We start every week with the call-outs, am I right?
We always go with the call-out. And you know who needs to be called out by the G to the U to the R to the U.
Oh, the first one.
And this is going to be a simple call-out, man, because I respect this organization. But that embarrassment they showed for us in New England, that was an embarrassment. You don't get beat, was it 33-3? Some debacle like that. Come on, man. Show some fight, Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Pittsburgh organization.
For what y'all showed us, and y'all showed us absolutely nothing.
Absolutely
nothing. Losing all your explosive players.
Your tiny face quarterback.
Guru is calling your asses out.
Oh, man, get the heck out of here.
All right, so the Pittsburgh Steelers get the first call out of the year for the embarrassing loss. Not just a loss, but the embarrassing 33-3 loss. Barely showed up against the Patriots.
Get the heck out of here.
All right, call out number two, Guru.
The call out number two, it might as well bleed into the Pittsburgh, the former Pittsburgh, man, A.B.,
oh my, Antonio get the heck Brown. Out of here.
Man, I'm calling your old ass, man, I'm calling your ass out, bro. I'm calling your ass out for every bullshit you've been doing the last few months. All this bullshit you doing, bro, you deserve to get your ass called the fuck out. And
oh my, the goon get the just heck calling out of here.
Antonio Brown. For every bullshit you've done this last, fuck it, for all the bullshit you've done this last 3 years, you getting a 3 year worth of motherfucking call out.
Oh my, get the heck out of here.
Antonio Brown, what happened here since we were last on the air, obviously. Now let's start at the beginning. We had the frozen feet from the cryo thing. We had the helmet thing. We have that went on and on to him missing time, getting fined, throwing punches, or at least calling his coach a cracker or his GM a cracker. At least that's what they say. I don't know. It looks like a cracker to me. Asking to be dropped on Instagram on Saturday, asking to be let go. They find a way to fine him. They're going to take away his money. He gets cut. He ends up in later that afternoon after another Instagram video. Oh, the video. Let's not forget the video with the private conversation with Gruden. Mm-hmm. I brought you here because you're my favorite guy. Mm-hmm. And then ends up in New England for a lot less money, but playing on a lot better team. Antonio Brown.
Oh, my, get the heck out of here.
3 years worth of call out. All right. One more from week one.
Got a good one more call out, man.
Oh, we got two more here.
Oh, is it two more?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because week one is a bunch of BS, man.
Yep.
All right, so, man, Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, happy feet.
Happy feet, Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, my, get the heck
so
out
my
of
man, Pat the Designer, I've been telling you this. Mitchell, happy feet, Trubisky with that mustache. I'm tired of looking at your ass. I am calling your ass out. What? For that terrible,
oh, man, get the
heck out performance here. In week one versus the Green Bay Packers.
Who thought Mitch Trubisky was going to be a better quarterback than the guys that went behind him in the draft? Didn't they leave like Mahomes when they moved up?
Man, they moved up they to moved the house up. To
oh,
get,
man, get the heck out
a
here.
Kid named Mitch.
Mitch Trubisky, happy feet Trubisky, calling him out. Looked terrible
oh,
out there this week.
Heck out
and honestly, the most boring game of the year to kick off this season. All right, one more here because I see that.
The Baker did it, y'all. The Baker. Ooh, I woke up feeling dangerous.
Speaking of bad mustaches.
I woke up feeling dangerous. Boy, I woke up feeling, what the hell are we watching over here, man? Baker motherfucking Mayfield. The guru ain't feeling you waking up feeling dangerous, man. You ain't dangerous. You ain't Michael Jackson, dog.
You ain't bad. You ain't nothing.
You ain't nothing.
You ain't nothing.
You nothing but a Cleveland Brown quarterback. Who don't give a damn about a Cleveland Brown quarterback?
Oh, man, get the heck out of here.
For your terrible performance versus the Titans. For you to forget the Titans. For you not to remember the Titans. I am calling your ass out.
Oh, man, get the heck out of here.
Serious question. Is he bad because he's a Browns quarterback, or did the or is he just bad and the Browns happened to get him? You know, was it going there and put it on the orange helmet? Did it throw him off or what? I mean, I guess we'll find out as the season goes on. All right, Guru, let's move over to the guys that need to be recognized this week. We called him out. Now let's shout him out. Let's talk about the players that did deserve a little recognition.
Hey, the Guru is all about the analytic, man. That's why the Guru ain't bringing out no stats, man. Y'all could Google all that stats. Bullshit. I'm talking about from the eyes, man, the analytic. And the first one is getting a shout out, man. Sammy Watkins, I've been dogging you career. I've been calling you Mr. Steal That Check. Trey Song is Mr. Steal Your Girl. You are Mr. Steal That Check. But Watkins came out and balled out. The Guru is giving you a shout out because the analytics don't lie.
Yes, boy. Yes, boy.
In this case, the stats don't lie either. Sammy Watkins, 198 yards and 3 TDs. Let me just say, I'm glad I didn't play him in fantasy this week. Sammy Watkins.
Yes, boy. Yes, boy.
Shout out, man. All right, who else we got?
Hey, we got to do it, man. The NFC East killer himself. Every team in the NFC have been burnt by this man, and even the team he plays for now has been burnt by this
man. That's why they got him back.
I am talking about D-Jack, Mr. Deep Skinny Post himself, Mr. Straight Skinny Post Route himself, DeSean Jackson.
Yes, boy, yes, boy.
Lit up the Redskins with his patented 2 skinny posts down the field to get the Eagles,
yes,
a
boy,
W.
Yes,
so with that said, Mr. NFC East killer, the Guru is shouting,
yes, boy,
you
yes, boy,
out.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned it. It gives me a chance to once again mention that the Eagles picked up the win against the Redskins. DeSean Jackson, 154 yards, 2 touchdowns, averaged 19.2 yards this week. Nice to have a deep threat,
yes, boy, yes, boy,
back in Philly. DeSean Jackson, welcome home, big guy. All right, what else?
Man, I'm sorry, Mr. Jackson. You are for real.
Yeah.
I apologize, man. They said you can't throw. They said you are a running back. But you like, man, that ain't bad for a running back.
Quarter of the year.
5 TD in the South Beach. Hair it all, man. Lamar looked like a motherfucking Jackson.
I'll tell you what.
Yes, boy.
He like part of the Jackson 5, baby, because that 5 TD got Lamar in that. Take Tito out of there and put Lamar. Lamar is a Jackson motherfucking 5, baby.
Tito, you've been demoted. Lamar Jackson, please report to the Jackson 5. We're going to need you to put on some bell bottoms.
With that said, the Guru is shouting you out, Lamar Jackson.
The best week in football. You got to shout out Lamar Jackson. I know you got one more on here coming out of the same place, actually.
Oh, man, you got to see the Ravens. You know, the Guru love Edgar Allan Poe. The Guru love Edgar Allan Poe, as you could tell, man. Give me that Ravens, man. The best free agent acquisition in this offseason. And I'm going to let you all know about it all year long. Earl motherfucking Thomas is going to take that Ravens defense to the next nuclear level. You keep thinking about Pat Mahomes. He ain't never seen a guy like Earl Thomas. You talk about all those guys. Earl is making his presence felt with his INT already. Look for Earl Thomas to be the top leaders in this league this year. And for that said, the Guru is going to be shouting your ass out.
Yes, boy, yes, boy.
A whole bunch of times this season.
Yes, boy, yes, boy.
Take thy beak from out my heart, Ravens. All right, so that is our call-outs and shout-outs for the week. Guru's call-outs from week one.
Oh, my, get the heck out of here.
Go to the Pittsburgh Steelers, Antonio Brown, Happy Feet Mitch Trubisky, and Baker Mayfield and the Browns.
Oh, my, get the heck out.
And, of course,
the
shout-outs for week one go to Sammy Watkins, DeSean Jackson, Lamar Jackson, and Earl Thomas.
Yes, boy. Yes, boy.
The new Lamar Jackson, please report to the Jackson 5. Tito, you've been demoted.
It's a bunch of Jackson, Deshaun Lamar. Man, I was just feeling Jackson, man.
I know, moonwalking over everybody. All right, so that is the call. That's the shout-outs. I'll tell you what, Guru. Let's, with that final look back at Week 1, let's look ahead to the weekend coming up here with our man Ben Carey of the CapWise.com. Head on over to CapWise.com and check out the free picks. Check out the free analysis. But make sure you subscribe to CapWise.com to get all of the deeper stuff and the stuff you can't get for free. Ben Carey, let's see what you're talking about.
What's up, guys? Ben here, CapWise, of course, here to give you my top picks for Week 2 of the NFL and then Week 3 of college football. Last week, we did decent. I think we broke even for the picks that I gave out. But, man, there are a few bad beats. We had the Lions giving up 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter to not cover. And then we also had the Panthers pushing, which was unfortunate. But we did have the Titans winning against the Browns. I called that one. They won big. And then Nebraska losing to Colorado. That was another big one that I had correctly. So let's hop on into this weekend. My top picks for college football. Colorado -3.5. They're facing an Air Force team with the option attack. This is a offense that Mel Tucker at Georgia is very familiar with. He faced that at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech used to run that offense, so he's going to be very familiar with that type of offense. They're going to have a really good defensive scheme in place against Air Force, and they should cover this one. I have them winning by a touchdown. Go with the Buffs, -3.5. Sorry, Guru, about your Huskers there. Guru actually was texting me halfway through the second half. He sent me a GBR. I think that stands for Go Big Red. He also put a little corn emoji in there. Super cute. But then we popped that corn, turned it into popcorn, ate it, and Buffs came back and won. Anyways, Pittsburgh +17 on the road against Penn State. This is a Pittsburgh team that is very talented. Penn State has only played 2 teams, and they're garbage. They played an Idaho team. They won like 79-7. James Franklin really ran up the score in that one. They also played, Buffalo. Buffalo's garbage too as well. Pittsburgh has played 2 decent teams in Ohio and Virginia, so Pittsburgh will be ready to play in this one. Line is currently at +17.5, actually, so if you like that number, jump on it now because it will go down, and I expect it to be around +16 for kickoff, so go with the Panthers to beat the Nittany Lions on the road, to cover. I don't think they'll win, but it actually will be close. I have it around 7 points. It's going to be a very close game. Don't underestimate Pittsburgh. BYU at home against USC. USC has, I think he's a freshman, redshirt freshman. He's a young guy. He looked good in his first start against Stanford. Will be very different, hostile crowd on the road against a BYU team with grown men. And when I say grown men, most of these guys take mission trips. So, I mean, some of them are like Guru's age out there playing football. sorry, Guru. This is a great spot for BYU. They're the underdogs here, 4.5 points. And I think they win outright against a USC team that is a little overrated here in this spot. So go with BYU +4.5. Now to the NFL. You guys are going to hate me for this one, but we're going Broncos -3. Now, Broncos look terrible for the most part against the Raiders on Monday Night Football. But if you take a look, if you take a deeper look at that game, they actually did not play that bad as it seemed. If you look at the stats and also you look at a few different factors coming into play, a Broncos team had a lot of those guys who didn't even play in preseason. It was Joe Flacco's first full game with the Broncos. He actually didn't look bad. He made some really good throws, tight throws in the pocket. So I'm not completely sold on him, but he's better than Case Keenum. I mean, what is that saying? Also, the defense did not give up a lot of explosive plays, and there were no turnovers on the Denver offensive side of the ball. So there's a lot of things you can build off of, and the Raiders did a really good job of taking advantage of mismatches. Todd Davis, outside linebacker, was out for the Broncos. And I think Waller, the tight end, they made it a point of emphasis to get him the ball as much as possible. And they had a really good offensive game plan. So this Broncos team is at home. They're playing a Bears team that looked very shaky. And I'm telling you what, guys, Von Miller and Bradley Chubb are going to destroy Mitchell Trubisky. This is a great spot for the Broncos at home. It's now +3, so you're getting a field goal buffer, and I like the Broncos on the spot with that altitude. Browns, -6. Le'Veon Bell's out of this game. Sam Darnold has mono. I don't know how he got mono. You should ask Guru. I think Guru has had mono a few times in his life. You can ask him how you get mono. But anyways, this is a Browns team in a must-win position. It is for the Jets, too. And teams that start 0-2 in the NFL only make the playoffs 10% of the time. But this Browns team is too talented. It was the first time Landry, Odell Beckham Jr., and Baker Mayfield were all on the field for an extended period of time. The offense is going to get better as time goes on and the season, the duration of the season goes through. So this is a Browns team that is going to win by a touchdown in this spot. I'm not too worried about them. I did bet against the Browns in week one, but that was just because of, you know, some of the things I mentioned. A lot of rust was being shaken off in that first game. They're going to be ready to go. They're going to watch film, and they will be ready to roll on the road against the Jets team, who is starting Trevor Siemian. Yeah, let that sink in. Browns, -6. Steelers, -3.5 at home. The Steelers team plays – I mean, guys, their splits home and away, it's drastic. It's kind of like the Seahawks. When the Seahawks are at home, they have some of the craziest drastic splits home and away. And guess who's in the home spot here? The Steelers. The Steelers are at home. They got blown out against the Patriots, but I like this spot at home. And the Seahawks didn't look good against a really bad Bengals team at home. So you have the Seahawks coming to Pittsburgh. I think Big Ben has a big game. Juju Smith will have a touchdown and go for like 100 yards. And James Conner will really get involved in this offense for this Sunday. So I'm going Steelers -3.5. So let's just recap everything. We have Colorado Buffs -3.5, Pittsburgh Panthers +17.5, BYU Cougars +4.5, and then in the NFL we have Broncos +3, Browns +6, Steelers -3.5. Play these bets. You will win some money. And if you head to the CapWise website, capwise.com, and sign up for our premium service where we give the top picks of the weekend. I gave out two of my top picks in this segment, and I'm not going to tell you which ones, but if you sign up as a member, use that promo code TTR. That's for Trash Talk Radio, of course. If you use that promo, guys, I will give you a discount, $10 off your first month. It's a great deal, and I'm one of the most affordable in the handicapping industry. There's guys out there who charge like $200-$300 a month. I charge $50. And it's a buyer back protection dynamic performance plan. So if for some reason the picks don't perform well, I actually reimburse you. So you're protected. It's a risk-free proposition for you. So sign up using that promo code TTR. Now back to you guys. Go Buffs and go Broncos.
All right, Guru, our thanks to Ben Carey from CapWise.com. Make sure you use a promo code TTR in the subscription. Promo code TTR over at CapWise.com and bet with Ben. Don't bet with your heart.
Bet with Ben.
We know what we're doing here. We're making money every week on this. Another big week for Ben.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Love how that goes. All right, Guru. We are almost out of time here on the show. But, of course, I got to have time for a two-minute drill.
Let's do this.
Here's how we play the two-minute drill here on Trash Talk Radio. This is our chance to talk about all the things we didn't get to on the show. I put 2 minutes on the clock, and I start lobbing up the Guru. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Here we go. All right, first question, Guru. I want to stay a little bit of football that we didn't get to. Julio Jones got a 3-year, $66 million extension. He is going to be there through 2023 with a $64 million guarantee. He is now the highest paid wide receiver in football. Is he worth it?
Absolutely. Julio, baby. What did you direct deposit in that line? Is that a direct deposit, Julio, or did you get that check?
It better be a direct deposit. Hey, bad news from the Eagle front is Malik Jackson out for the rest of the season. How does this hurt the Eagles? He's got a foot injury.
The Eagles are so deep defensively, man. It don't really hurt the Eagles as much as you would think.
All right, we got a tie in week one, Lions, Arizona. Oh, come on, man. What do you think of this?
Come on, man.
The fucking Lions being the Lions, man. Just blow a lead to the young boys over there in Arizona.
And then Arizona not going for it at the end and essentially settling for the tie. I hated that. Hey, the Colts surprised the L.A. San Diego Chargers this week behind Jacoby Brissett. What do you think of that one?
The San Diego Chargers won.
My bad. I have that backwards.
They didn't surprise them.
My bad. That's my fault. I got the wrong notes here. I wanted to ask you about OBJ's watch. $190,000 watch out there on the field. Woo!
Hey, OB's not worrying about that, man. OB, wear your watch, man. Wear everything you want to wear, man. You in Cleveland, baby. You better get the hell out of here. You checking the time to get the hell out of here. That's why he's wearing the watch. He's like, oh, shit. I'm about a couple of days, blah, 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 minutes, hours out of Cleveland, man. That's right. All.
You don't need that expensive a watch to impress in Cleveland. Hey, quick transition here. Philadelphia 76er Mike Scott got in a fight in Philly for wearing a Redskins jersey.
Washington Wizard Mike Scott, man. My man Mike Scott. Washington, D.C. Mike on. Man, I love my man Mike C. What you talking about, man?
The Mike Scott hype got in a fight in the parking lot in Philly for wearing a Redskins jersey.
Damn right.
What are your thoughts on wearing opposing jerseys to a game?
Hey, we all know if you're in the NFC East, I know you don't go to Philly with an opposite team jersey. I've been there. I've even a tough guy like me. They told my black ass, so you better run your ass, take that Nikes, and run your ass down south, 95 south. And I took my Nikes, and I ran my ass down 95 south, man.
I, on the other hand, will wear my Eagles shit anywhere, man. I'll take that into any stadium. I don't care. I will take it. I will rep that. I love that he did it. I love that he repped it. It is. I love that those fans have just banded their tailgate for it. All right, another quick one here. I got to ask you about Team USA lost to France, 89-79. This is the Celtics and Mitchell. My question is, will this prompt the big names to come back for the Olympics?
Hell, no, they won't pump no damn big names. Do we even care? Because when we got the big names, we know we'll win. Who cares?
All right, final question. National Video Game Day. Say, Guru, what's your favorite video game?
My motherfucking favorite video game. We all know it. It is Madden. Madden. The Guru's in the Hall of Fame of Madden. Go look the Guru up, baby. I am in the Hall of Fame of Madden. Madden paid my rent in college, baby. Madden for real, baby. I am the Guru, and I stamp that damn Madden.
I'm going to go off the board here. My favorite video game of all time is probably Twisted Metal 2 for the PlayStation.
You don't know about Twisted Metal.
Driving
man,
and shooting.
The ice cream truck was
my
man.
That's the one.
Man.
The clown.
That was my guy.
And the other one is I love Earthworm Jim for the old Sega Genesis. Where you pull your head out and whip people that love that. All right, that is our time on Trash Talk Radio this week. Our thanks to The Almanac for checking in on the campus check-in as always. Our thanks to Ben Carey of CapWise.com for checking in for our Bets with Ben segment. You can find Trash Talk Radio anywhere you can find podcasts, but the best place to find us is at TrashTalkRadio.com. If you're looking for the Guru, he's on Instagram every day at Guru's Film Room. Guru's Film Room is just his thoughts. Just his thoughts. Until next time, my name is Lestro.
It's the G to the U to the R to the U.
Thanks for listening.
Ciao. Who's your favorite character in The Simpsons? Homer!
Homer.